Tim Fleming in the Morning on AM 1300 KGO.
Your hometown news station, AM 1300, KGLO. I'm Tim Fleming, and we have the boss out of Corporate Farmer with us, Chad Hansen. Hey, Chad, how are you?
Great. How are you doing today, Tim?
Oh, fantastic. I'm loving the weather. I really am. You got a break with the weather. How can you go wrong with this kind of stuff?
Yeah, you don't complain. That's all I know. It is definitely a welcome relief when you can go outside and not have to worry about catching your breath just from the heat as it kind of takes it out of you, going from the air condition to that 90 plus or whatever, 100 plus heat indexes and stuff. So, and then obviously, you know, the rain, pretty welcome for most of the farmers around here. We were getting pretty dry, and even though some areas seem to get way more than what you would normally ask for, it seemed to soak up pretty quick and not a whole lot of runoff. So I'm sure the crops and everything will really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, oh my goodness, that's for sure. Yeah, it soaked in pretty fast, and hopefully those areas that didn't get the heavier rain, maybe they got some that ran downstream to them, and it'll help out a little bit. I always think when you get to August, and I know just tying together with the end of the crop season and the kids are going back to school, but I always think August is that time of year too where kids are going to football practice and you get those two-a-days, and it always to me seemed like it was 100 degrees. And so I think for them too it's kind of a nice break to get weather like this.
For sure. I know my son wasn't complaining about it one bit as he threw on the cleats and went out the door to practice yesterday. And, you know, they got a little bit of that hot stuff last week with the camps and things that were going on. So, when you're that young, it seems like you're pretty resilient and it doesn't affect you quite as much as maybe it does when you get to our age. But it is one thing that as they kind of get started, you hate to see them, you know, with the conditioning and some of those things that are going on as they start camps and practices to see, you know, those kind of temperatures, because you fear that, you know, something could happen to one of those kids. And obviously we don't want any of that either.
Yeah, take in lots and lots of fluids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was also thinking the other day, too, it's that time of year where you start to see, more machinery moving on the blacktops and gravel roads, and, you know, school buses will be going soon and all those things.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's, you know, obviously right around the corner with the school buses, and as people kind of, you know, start to get their combines and stuff back from the dealerships, they probably had those serviced and making the preparations for fall harvest. We'll see a lot more of that equipment out there. Obviously, construction, you know, is a big thing in the summer and the Midwest. And, you know, those crews are trying to finish up projects before the weather changes and stuff. So, you know, it's always a time to be safe when we're kind of in the middle of a lot of that traveling as people try and finish up vacations and all that kind of stuff before school kind of gets back into session. So important to stay safe and to watch the roads and look out for those around us, for sure.
So what are you talking about in the office these days as you're working with your clients?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but there's been a few kind of updates and things going on in Washington and with the IRS here recently, and so figured that, you know, we might as well kind of discuss a few of those. Mm-hmm. You know, to start, one item that was a nice update was that the IRS finally included some information about the revenue protection policies as part of the crop insurance. It's something that, you know, most of us have kind of made some assumptions about in the past, especially when it comes to deferral of crop insurance. That's something that, you know, many times we take advantage of because, you know, usually when you had some crop damage or some storms that go through here this time of the year. Those payments come in before December 31st and maybe not timely when it comes to tax planning. And so the IRS allows the option for those that typically sell, you know, over half or the majority of their crops into the following tax year to defer that income. So even though you've received the cash, you got the money in the bank, you can elect on your tax return to defer that crop damage payment to the following year for income tax purposes, and that's to kind of, you know, not kind of punish you while you're down. You get damage to your crop, and now you're getting taxed at higher rates because you weren't counting on that additional income as part of your planning, and you really didn't have any avenue to basically put that income into next year like you normally would through just the timing of sales. You know, the insurance company's going to pay you once the claim's settled. Well, you know, as times have evolved, you know, we used to just have, you know, crop insurance was basically for damages like hail or wind or whatever. And, you know, as probably some pressure from lenders and things and the need for producers to protect against revenue losses, those insurance companies have responded with products that include the damage for loss, but also, you know, the damage is caused by a drop in revenue from maybe the price that was in the spring to the price at fall when it's harvested and you're making delivery and taking those sales and that income. And so it's always been kind of assumed by us in the business that you couldn't defer that revenue protection part of the policy. And so we would, you know, typically have our clients reach out to their insurance company and have them break down how much of the payment was because of that fluctuation in price and then how much was for the actual physical loss or damage to the crop. And, you know, we would advise them that they could defer the damage portion, but the revenue portion would need to be picked up in the current year. Well, finally, you know, the IRS got around to making that clear through what's called Publication 225. That's the Farmer's Tax Guide that kind of lays out a lot of this and explains it through examples and things so that everybody's kind of on the same page. So even though these kind of policies have been in place for probably 10 or more years at this point in time, they finally got around to addressing it and making it clear so that we aren't making assumptions and that they're on the same page with us. So that was kind of a welcome bit of news that came out here just in the last few weeks as they come out with an update to that farm tax guide.
So that guide kind of puts everything so it's a little more understandable, a little relatable, mm-hmm. Kind of easier to follow with the English language.
Yeah, and I think for most people, they're probably not aware of these things, but they do come out with these guides that are specific to different industries, and so this Farmer's Tax Guide addresses things that are specific to farming when it comes to, you know, simple things like the recognition of income and what are, you know, legitimate expenses or deductions, and then, you know, different things like depreciation and you know, tables for payroll taxes and withholding. So all those different things and what forms should be used and where it should be reported on different forms. And then maybe another publication that would be of interest to people to maybe look at some point in time, too, is they also come out with an audit guide that is specific for particular industries as well. And that is kind of the playbook as far as for the revenue agents when they approach, you know, an audit and what the things that they're going to look at. And it's kind of a review for them because, you know, these auditors, I mean, they're basically looking at all kinds of small businesses, at least the ones that, you know, we would typically deal with. And so, you know, they're going to need some review from time to time, and like I said, kind of a playbook or instructions of how to approach those. And they have some things that you and I might find funny, you know, what is a pig versus, you know, some of the different definitions of or names of livestock, whether they're male or a female, or whether they've been fixed, or some of those types of things, and so just so you can learn a little bit, I guess, of the lingo associated with agriculture, but then some of the highlights as far as kind of, you know, what maybe are some targets or some things that typically an auditor is going to focus on when it comes to a specific industry, and whether they have, say, inventory or, you know, timing of sales and those types of things. And so that's another publication that gets updated quite frequently, usually annually, with updates as far as kind of what are the highlights, I guess, more than anything for those auditors as they approach that process.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, when you're talking about a guide like that, I can see where that would really come in handy for farming, because it is its own industry, and you have people that are living on the farm, mm-hmm. and the different separations of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see where that would be very, very handy.
Yeah, and, you know, some of those things that we kind of, you know, don't ever think about, maybe if we've got livestock, you know, how much of that is used there for the family, for their meals, and whether that gets carved out of the costs, or, you know, quite often probably, you know, some people try and sneak that through as a deduction for, like, feeding and maybe butchering their own versus the ones that they sell. So, you know, those are some items that you'll often find in those guides that I'm talking about that kind of remind those auditors of the right questions to ask and some things to highlight as they go through that process. And the reason maybe that I'm talking about this a little bit more today is because I'm sure most people have kind of become aware of this Inflation Reduction Act that is being debated right now in Congress. And I think a big portion of that is the fact that, you know, the Washington is asking for more money for the IRS, which they're going to utilize to hire more agents. And I know that the administration has kind of said that those are going to be to target people with revenue over $400,000, or income, I should say, not revenue, income over $400,000, so that we can all rest assured that that doesn't affect us. And, you know, they're going after the big guys and those one percenters that, you know, everybody hates, I guess, or whatever. But, you know, I think that, you know, common sense is going to tell you that, you know, more often than not, when you bring in some new staff, they're probably not trained or prepared to kind of deal with, say, a Microsoft or, you know, some of these big companies that maybe we want to make sure they're paying their fair share. You know, if we go out and hire all these new staff, they're going to start training a little bit kind of at the lower level of things and dealing with some simpler type of returns. And I think, you know, I've noticed or heard from clients and I've seen on kind of social media, you know, some of the people say, hey, hold up, you know, they're probably telling us one thing, but we're probably going to get something else. And so I think that there's a little bit of a fear out there that means that we're just going to see an onslaught of audits and you know, that could affect, you know, a lot of us. And I'd say that's probably a realistic assessment. But obviously, it's one of those deals where we'll wait and see how it all gets taken care of once this gets passed here, which I think we're looking for here, you know, that to happen before the end of the week.
Well, and it really kind of reminds everybody, too, and with working with Corporate Farmer, cross your T's, dot your I's, mm-hmm. be meticulous on your paperwork and your computer work, and there you go.
Yeah, and I think that leads right into, I guess you threw me a little softball there. You know, I think we talk about that, of doing things the right way and understanding the rules and all of that each week. But, you know, what I see often is we have kind of a situation like we have now where prices have been pretty good. You know, maybe there's a little bit more in the pocketbook there for our farmers. And, you know, typically that leads us to get maybe a little more aggressive when it comes to these gray areas and maybe, you know, like I'm talking about some of these things that we try and slip through to not pay any more taxes than we feel like that we should. Or maybe we're a little angry with things that are going on in Washington or in politics, and maybe we think, I don't want to give them any more money than I absolutely have to. And it's all right to think those things, but I think it's not all right to act on them by doing things that might not be the right way, or taking deductions that may not be appropriate. And so, you know, it's always kind of a good time to kind of, you know, grab a hold of those reins and say, let's attack this from a perspective that makes sense and do things correctly. And that's why we always suggest that we try and do that planning in advance instead of waiting until the end, because, you know, at this point in time, we've still got about 4 months left in the tax year, and, you know, there's plenty of options that are available. We can look at deferring some of our grain sales here this fall and the next year to kind of help with the tax planning, or speed up some of those expenses, maybe buy a piece of equipment or something, and those options are all available. Obviously, as we get closer and closer to the end of December, those options maybe are out the window. Maybe we've already taken the grain sales, and deferring it isn't possible at that point in time, or maybe it's too late in the game to go buy a piece of equipment. Maybe even it's foolish to do it that way, just because of the fact that those dealers know that that's your main objective, and they're not going to cut you as much of a deal on the price. And so, you know, I think the bottom line here is just a reminder that, you know, let's do things the right way. Let's realize that is probably coming down the pipeline, that we're going to see more enforcement, really an incentive to go out there and find some of these people that are maybe pushing the limits a little bit. And so that means that it's time to kind of look at your own backyard and make sure that you're doing things the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in underneath that, the corporate farmer umbrella, and work with the professional people. You guys, that's what you do. And you know, I know a lot of farmers are probably in that, hey, listen, my work is in the field. I need corporate farmer to take care of some of those other things for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's been amazing, I'd say, in the last, you know, few weeks. It really has been great to hear from some new people. Had a lot of phone calls. I think some of that is, you know, kind of the climate we're in right now with, mm-hmm. you know, some of the tax preparers out there getting a little bit long in the tooth and deciding that maybe they want to slow down, and that's you know, created that opportunity for people to kind of look around a little bit more. Obviously, I think with inflation and increased prices, I think that leads us to shop around, right? You know, when my price increases by 25% or 50%, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, I was comfortable before, but now maybe I'm not so comfortable now that they're wanting to charge me a lot more for what they've always been doing. And so, you know, there's a lot of those things. And then, you know, we get some farmers that listen to you and I on a weekly basis that maybe been working with somebody else, and they decide, you know what, I'm going to give corporate farmer a call and just kind of see where they're at with things and whether maybe it's the time to consider that. And so there's been a lot more of that, I think, than a normal year, and I guess that's good, bad, whatever. But, you know, we obviously welcome, you know, those phone calls and those conversations, and enjoy sitting down with somebody new.
Chad, tell everybody how they can do that. It really is pretty simple to get together with Corporate Farmer.
Yeah, just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
Yeah, and you can call, and I'll ask the softball questions. You can ask the hard ones if you
want,
right?
There you go. Yeah, I'm up for that. The softball ones, those aren't always fun. I like to get into some discussion about the tougher stuff once in a while.
Nitty-gritty stuff, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Chad, have a great day.
You too, Tim. Thank you.
You bet. Take care. That's Chad Hansen, everybody. He's the president of Corporate Farmer. If you need some help, your farm accounting firm, Corporate Farmer's right there for you.